So light. We've heard stories this morning of the light of Jesus breaking into people's lives, and it humbles us, doesn't it, to hear those stories. Light has fascinated Christian thinkers throughout the ages, really. Fascinated artists. Now here's a famous painting. You know this one to be? The light of the world, and it is to be found where? St. Paul's Cathedral, which is where? Which is where? Yeah, thank you. there's actually a better version in Keble College, Oxford, also in England. Oh, really? That's because they nicked it. This is Holman Hunt's Light of the World, and he's actually inspired by the passage in Revelation which talks about, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." The text isn't actually about light that's inspired the painting, the light. But the artist has recognized that Jesus invites us to invite his light in. And we thought about light. The Bible begins and ends, is bracketed, really, with some very similar themes. So the Bible begins with what? The creation. And the first thing to be created in Genesis 1 is light. So the Bible begins with an act of creation and light. And the Bible ends, I guess this is the end of the Bible over here somewhere. What does the Bible end with? See, we think the Bible ends with destruction, but doesn't. The Bible ends with an act of creation. From beginning to end, creation and new creation, and in the new creation, God says, not just at the beginning, but at the end, there will be light. Revelation 22, verse 5, "There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." So we can't get away from the light theme. God in his act of creation says, "Let there be light." Humanity spoils the whole story. Jesus enters into the story, repairs it, and God in his act of new creation says, "You won't need artificial light because you'll have the light of God." So it's all about him and it's all about his light. If you look in our new song book, and this is it, oh, you're supposed to be impressed. You will find lots of helpful things in this new songbook when you eventually get your hands on it. And today is not that day. And you can look up various themes, and you can look up light, and you can find song after song after song about light. All these songs are in our new songbook, Songs of Light. Because light has fascinated not just painters, but writers and poets as well. And some of these verses we've sung many times. Next one, please, guys. Time has gone from us this morning, but we could have sung a verse of this song, written by Walter Chalmers Smith. That whole idea of God in light, inaccessible. Inaccessible light. That's what we're dealing with when we deal with God. We deal with God who lives in inaccessible, unapproachable light. We can only see anything because of what he allows us to see. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, Daniel says this about God: how God reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, though he is surrounded by light. So light somehow speaks of who God is and where God is. Paul writes in Letter to Timothy that God lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No human eye has ever seen him all honor and power to him forever. So the God that we worship, the God who brings light to us, the God whose light that we sing about, when we think about that in the illustration that Laura did, and our friends who shared their stories spoke about the light that shone into them, we recognize that divine spark comes from the one who lives in unapproachable light, so pure and so holy that you could not get near. We get glimpses of that throughout the Bible story. We have the two disciples who go up with Jesus onto the Mount of Transfiguration, and they see Jesus in his glory. They see him transfigured. They're blinded by the light of his holiness. Same thing happens to Moses way back before. And when Moses came down from the mountain after being with God, people couldn't even look at him because he's just radiated the fact that he'd been in the light of God's presence. When you go from here, when you go to your this time tomorrow, or Tuesday, whenever it is, we can still radiate the beauty of Jesus. People can still know that we've been with him. May it be for us such an experience that we can't help but just show something different, something that maybe doesn't blind people, but attracts people, makes people want to ask those questions. Because light that is inaccessible has become for us light incarnate, because Jesus has got involved. These two great passages. 1 John, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So we're lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. But if we live in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We can kid ourselves, you see. Only you and I know the truth of our lives, and God knows the truth of our lives, and we can kid everyone else. You can come to church, you can do the right thing, you can dress rightly, you can behave rightly. You can smile sweetly, shake hands, drink church tea or coffee, make your way home, and still be living in darkness. Some of our friends who walk the road of recovery know that better than others. Because addiction is about deceiving yourself, isn't it? Kidding ourselves. And after a while, we can believe our own stories and we can think, yeah, I'm sorted, I'm okay. Jesus comes light incarnate because you and I, you know, we are not okay. Good catch. Not a bad tackle, actually. We could do a few more forwards in England. I think Hannah's a better fly half, actually. we are not okay. We can kid ourselves that we are, but we if we're not careful, we can find ourselves living in darkness. We can look like we're sorted, and we're not. Here's the thing. Jesus has stepped down into our darkness. The one who lives in unapproachable light, who is eternal with the Father, has come down and brought his light to us. Light is incarnate. We sing this song, we may even sing it this morning. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Jesus says in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. The invitation Jesus gives is only ever to follow. But he's the light of the world. And if you walk with someone who's got a light, then you can also see, can't you? Even if we had darkness again and Laura bought her Generation Y phone, we'd still be able to see, she and I, if we walked together in darkness, just about. Actually, you know what those phone lights are really useful for? Checking there's nothing in your mailbox that will kill you. I'm learning. You could still just about see. But actually, if we were walking with Jesus, as he invites us to do, he is the light, and you'd just be walking bathed in his light. Because the one who comes from unapproachable light has brought his light to us. He approaches us and says, okay, I am the light, now walk with me. And now we can walk in his light. And not only then do we see him, we see the reality of who we are. And when we're faced with the reality of who we are, then our response is one of worship, thanksgiving, because we realize in that moment that the one who lives in unapproachable light has come for us. I listen to people as you do, and people say, I found God. I found God. Do you know what? You didn't. He found you. He found you. He came to look for you. He comes to look for people still, constantly lapping at the shores of people's lives. He comes to find you. You didn't find him, he found you. And if you don't know what it is to walk in his light, you can today by just turning and allowing yourself to be bathed in that light, because he's come to find you. So light that's inaccessible has become light incarnate. And because of that, there's a light invasion. It's the best alliteration I could come up with. It's a bit weak, that one. But the whole idea that we carry the light. John's account, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Matthew's account, which was read for us, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And you might be saying, well, which gospel's true? They both are. They both are. Jesus, who is the light of the world, says to you and me, you, we are the light of the world. You are the visible presence of Jesus in the world. This time tomorrow matters, because where you are is where people will encounter Jesus. Have a look around. If you're not sure about grace and using broken opals, well, crazied opals. You are the person through whom someone may encounter Jesus. You are the missionaries. You are the missionaries. I don't remember which step in the 12 steps it is, but towards the end of that, there's this whole idea about through conscious contact with God, we carried the message. Have I got that right? Carrying the message. It's not just for the friends in recovery, it's for all of us, because you know we're all in recovery. I'm a recovering sinner. Jesus has come to find me. Jesus invites me to carry the message, to carry the light, to be the light. This song's in our songbook as well. I don't think I ever remember singing it. And it's obviously an old one. But I love the sentiment of this prayer. Now, Lord, let my light so shine that the world may know I'm thine. May I bear much fruit in thee that will stand eternally. God, who lives in unapproachable, inaccessible light, has become incarnate for you, for me. He's come to look for you, for me. And he invites us to be the light invasion that goes out from here and carries that message to others. May you and I bear much fruit in him that will stand eternally. The Lord bless you.